annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
Bang! Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
And we are back for episode 26. Sorry about the week off last week, folks. We're all set to go. And we decided to move it to Thursday night, and then Ben got sick.
Zika virus, man.
Is that what it was?
Probably.
Ebola?
It's the 1,000 kids I deal with every week, man.
Oh, the kids at Mr. Wolf.
It's the damn dirty kids. Some of them, hygiene's not high on their priority list.
No, let's be honest, millennials. Yeah, they need a good sponge bath.
It's natural, man. What's his name? Matthew McConaughey. He led them all astray, man. No one's wearing deodorant and shit. It's no good.
All right.
It's no good, man.
So Stevie Payos not with us this week. He's overseas again. I just saw him post something on Instagram.
Is he still in Manila or is he?
Yeah, I don't know. He's overseas somewhere.
He's travelling around the world.
Mate, on our dime.
Good on him.
Which is sensational.
Good on him.
Last week all would have been about your thoughts on UFC 205, Benny. So this week we'll have a look post. But I was arguing with a few mates of mine who said Alvarez was going to walk through McGregor, and I just said, no, I don't think it's going to happen. I think him dropping weight and being, you know, going five rounds with Nate Diaz would see him in a better spot, and it turned out that way, didn't it?
Mate,
it was clinical.
It's unbelievable, man. I'll talk about it in detail later on, but that's unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
That what he's done, and this I'll talk about it, but size advantage.
Yeah.
Like, Conor's the bigger man, and I'm not a huge fan of weight cutting, so we've spoken about that heaps, but...
Yeah.
To have that size advantage over the lightweight champion when you're the 145-pound champion, 10 pounds south,
yep.
That is so much work ethic and discipline for him to healthily make weight every single time.
Oh, I don't know if he made
it. Not healthily.
Healthily, but when he
made it. He made it every time, and he performed every single time.
Yeah, that's true.
He is unbelievable. And that left hand is a trump card.
It is, isn't it?
And pun intended.
Speaking of Trump, we were looking forward to having a chat last Wednesday night because... the whole US election thing had happened. It was still fresh, but
it's our Watergate.
There's still so many people talking about it that, and social media is just so full of butthurt.
Yeah,
from people about Trump. Now, I said on my personal Facebook page during the week, I wouldn't have voted for either of them. I think they're both deplorable human beings.
Yeah.
You know, with some of the stuff they've said. Do you need to be a good human being to be president? I don't know if you do or not, but I'm glad I didn't have to make the choice. I think it was more, and we'll touch on it later, but I think it was more a middle finger to politicians in general happened in the US.
So. Big time. I think people are, like, obviously Obama wasn't everything he turned out to be, but one thing Obama was.
An engaging and charismatic leader.
He was
leader,
eloquent and he brought integrity to the White
House. Great orator, and all that, and his wife has done marvellous things too. But
squeaky clean.
He had a horrible Congress that never let anything through as well, which is a bit like Malcolm Turnbull's got with our Senate. But anyway, we'll have a bit of a chat about politics. We'll keep it lighthearted.
I'll try and hang with
later
you.
Later on. Yeah, see how we go. coming up, a top five on the way for you a little bit later on, and a bit of a flashback for using three words, the local Canberra lads who aren't around anymore. So we'll get that on for you. Benny wanted us to play this song on the podcast last week, 24 hours after Trump had been elected.
It's never been more appropriate.
So I just love this. Reminds me of the opening scene from Independence Day because the guy's at SETI and he hears the radio transmission and smashes his head while this song's on. So
yeah, it's perfect.
REM, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox. Speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire. Representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to us are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team my team reporters babble. Trump tethered crop. Look at that. No plane. Fine. Then. Uh-oh. Overflow. Population common poop. But it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself, world serves its own needs. Listen to your heartbeat, dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right, right. You patriotic, slam, fight, bright light, feeling pretty sight. It's the end of the
end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. 6 o'clock, TV hour, don't get caught in four tower, slash and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush, uh-oh, this means no fear. Cavalier, renegade, steering clear, a tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine. I feel fine. Continental drift divide, mountain sit in a line, Leonard Bernstein, Leonette, Brasnaff, Lenny Bruce and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, but next, right?
Right.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
That was REM with It's the End of the World as We Know It. And is I Feel Fine part of the name of the song?
It's in parentheses, in all brackets right, at the end, so yeah.
And I'm Ben, you're Scotty. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And we're going to go to our eye in the sky, Larry, from last week.
Yeah, he phoned this report in last week, but we haven't heard from him since.
I wonder why.
I don't know. So maybe this will shine some light on it, but I do believe he was westward bound.
Lazar here with another official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. It's cricket season. Oh, yay. Awesome. I cannot contain my excitement. Very heavy traffic around the Wacker right now, where I've been sent to retrieve Australia's cricket talent, which was last seen when Glenn McGrath, Warnie and Punter all played. Let's be honest, our top order is as useful as Dale Steyn's shoulder. I'm headed out to the Nullarbor, where there's fuck all traffic, to dump the hopes and dreams of Aussie cricket, because there ain't much use for them within 1,000 kilometres of a cricket pitch. I'll be back next week, and so will cricket. Splendid. Just fucking fantastic.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Well, we couldn't do this show without the help of our two wonderful sponsors, and it's time to thank Johnny and the crew at Lang's Auto, Benny, and they are getting extremely busy this time of year. People are starting to go, oh, I better book the car in for the Christmas service.
Bloody punter. Mate, well, since I got my car service, it's been running a dream, and I've decided to keep it.
You are going to keep the supplement,
They got it done up so well. I spoke to Johnny and said, mate, is it worth buying for this?
Yep.
And he goes, yeah, no dramas.
Okay, because you had some electrics problems.
Yeah, he said,
stuff,
mate, the worst thing that'll happen, worst case scenario, is your electric windows will stop working. And we can fix that
well,
anyway.
Well, you can just punch them out.
That's the plan.
You'll be
That's
fine.
The plan.
So there you go.
So, no, they've done it up a treat.
So whether you've got a dodgy soccer mum van.
It's not dodgy anymore, man.
Or a brand new Maloo ute and you want some work done
Don't
on
rub it in, man.
Just take it down. My accountant told me to buy a new car, Betty.
Yeah, he
really did. Take it down to Lang's Auto. They'll get it sorted for you. But seriously, folks, if you do want to get your car fixed, if you are doing a big trip at Christmas, get it in and get it booked in now because spots are filling very, very fast down there. I was there Monday morning at 8 o'clock and they had a guy ring up who wanted to do a rego check and they went, yeah, we can fit you in Thursday arvo.
Yeah.
Like that's where they're like
But the good thing is
ahead.
When they can fit you in, they get it bloody done ASAP. Yeah,
that's what it's all about. Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan. They're absolute champions. Take your wheels to them.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom
in front of one very disinterested diamond python
and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
No, that's not Alan. Steve, that's Steve.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
It's time for another top five, one of Scotty's famous top fives. What's the subject matter this week, mate?
Let's not get too carried away, Benny.
Well, they're famous.
The world's biggest online auction company, as we know, is eBay. All right, and it's coming under heavy criticism after a 13-year-old boy from New Jersey successfully bid more than $3 million for $3 million worth of goods through his computer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Right, 13-year-old kid.
I'm guessing he didn't have $3 million.
Bought $3 million worth of stuff on eBay. Now, the boy who can't be named developed a taste for online auctions when he offered his best friend up for sale on the internet as a slave. Right, so this kid's an entrepreneur.
Wow.
Right, he put his best mate up as a slave, and he warned that his best friend was ugly and smelt but worked hard. Nobody bought him on the auction, though, but he saw what you could buy. So he set up an account at eBay and began bidding for things himself. He quickly ran up that $3 million bill. What do you reckon he bought? You're going to love the first thing he bought.
I have no idea.
A replica Viking ship.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I knew you'd love it. A Van Gogh painting. A couple of classic cars and one of Canada's national treasures, the bedroom furniture, which once belonged to the nation's first Prime Minister, John McDonald.
Kid's got taste.
Yes, hasn't he? Once eBay realised they were dealing with a 13-year-old, it cancelled the sales, infuriating sellers who thought they'd found themselves buyers. eBay's now facing legal action. As for the boy, his parents have banned him from the internet for the foreseeable future.
As they should. How can you... What's the rules on bidding and proving that you have the money to actually
buy
the auction?
When you win, you have to have it set up to a PayPal account or a credit card. Yeah. So he must have done that, unless he bid and hadn't paid yet, which you can do, but it's very rare on eBay now. But anyway, having a read through this, it did get me thinking, and it got me thinking of this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
Yeah, it's the top five signs a 13-year-old is bidding on your online auction, all right? Okay, so I've sold a few things on eBay in the last couple of months, some old camera lenses and bits and pieces.
Yeah.
No 13-year-olds, though. A crazy German guy.
No Viking ships?
No, and a crazy Croatian who bought a guitar off me who shouldn't have bought the guitar.
They're all crazy.
Because he was in Croatia and it said only ships to Australia. So I had to cancel it and list it again. But anyway, coming in at number five, here we go. The bid on your still-in-the-box Boba Fett action figure just skyrocketed from $210 to 10 gazillion.
I'm betting he won the auction.
You would think so. Number four, after successfully winning an auction, he leaves feedback that says, I know you are, but what am I?
None can defend me. There's no comeback.
Plus one, infinity, I don't know. Number three in the top five signs a 13-year-old is bidding on your online auction. Passes on the helmet from Easy Rider, goes after the hockey stick from Happy Gilmore.
I'd buy that.
That was on Fox
That's
the other
timeless.
Day. What a great movie.
That's epic,
what
man.
A great movie.
That's probably Adam Sandler's peak.
Yeah, that, arguably, that and The Wedding Singer.
Wedding Singer, Waterboy.
Yeah, nice.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree. Number two, the one and only bid for a 3-CD box set of farting noises from around the world is $1 million.
Is this 13-year-old or 32, man? Because I'm digging this
it's
stuff,
a very
man.
Well, what's the old saying? Men don't become men. They just become fat boys.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's what we're talking about. And number one, there's the drum roll. Number one in the top five signs, a 13-year-old is bidding at your online auction. Newest listing in featured auctions, my sister's butt.
Shut up and take my money.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
And what a wonderful card it was on the weekend, UFC 200. I know Benny's got that and more in Bifferama. Take it away, my big Viking friend.
The biggest card ever, mate. It was good, wasn't it?
Mate. And there wasn't a bad fight.
Nah, not at all.
Even the prelims were good.
Yeah, well, mate, the prelims could have been like a Fox card or anything else on any other show. It was absolutely awesome.
Yep.
Let's start off with, on the undercard, the undefeated Khabib Nurmagomedov. He was 23-0 going into this fight against top fighter. Was it Michael Johnson?
Yeah, who he fought, Johnson, yeah.
And Snoop Dogg was watching, and he put up a video of a bit of his commentary.
Yeah, now listen, before we play this, I'm not going to edit it because it's Snoop. Snoop's black.
Snoop can get away with
it. He's allowed to say the word that he says here.
It's the Spanish slang word for
El Negro,
the darker color.
The darker black color, yeah. So anyway, yeah, take from that what you will. He's Snoop Dogg.
I got my money on this nigga Khabib. I ain't never heard of him, but the way I'm seeing him, fuck this nigga up. I got Khabib and Nurmagomedov the golf against anybody in lightweight. Whoever lightweight. I'm big playing games when he's putting his nuts in his face and all kind of shit. He can hit him with the elbow backwards if he wanted to, Shaq. You know that, right? Yeah, he finna do something to choke this nigga out and get him to submit. Told you he wanted him to submit, Shaq. He finna make this nigga submit.
He wasn't even gonna tap.
He sure wasn't.
You were gonna let him break it.
Go ahead, break it.
Wow. Nigga, 24-0. He a bad motherfucker. I'm bad. That's my new nigga now.
So there you go. He really knows nothing about anything, does the old Snoop?
But old Nurmagomedov, he's a huge fan, mate.
Mate, and I'll tell you what. And at the end of it, because I'd never seen this guy fight
before.
Well,
mate, he hasn't fought for like 2 years.
Yeah, because he's been injured. But I'd heard about him, and he's obviously his ground game was sensational.
He's crazy. And his dad cut from the same cloth. There's footage of Khabib wrestling with a bear in his native Dagestan.
Excellent.
And he's like, and this is like when he was like a teenager. Like he's just a crazy family. They're just brought up warriors, mate. So he's a potential. He's a number one contender. Has been for a long time. But he's just so inconsistent with his injuries. He trains so bloody hard.
And that's pretty much what Connor's coming out and said.
He goes, he's fought once in 8 years.
Yeah. I need to see him fight because he came out.
And there is an element. There is a bit of truth to that. Yeah. Obviously, stylistically, it's not the best matchup for Connor, but. No. Who can say that about Connor now? He just defeated a top-notch wrestler.
Johnson
rocked him.
Almost knocked him.
Buzzed him.
Johnson obviously doesn't have the left hand and the combinations that Connor has.
No lightweight in the world has that left hand.
So you would like to think that if Johnson was able to do that to Captain Alphabet from Dagestan, Dagestan.
What Snoop said.
Yeah, that one. That Connor would walk through him if it was a stand-up fight.
But I think a big part of that was maybe he was a little bit rusty. And, mate, Michael Johnson is a top-notch fighter. He trains under Henry Hooft at the Black Zillions, mm-hmm. who's the guy I lived with in Holland when I was training over there. So he's one of the best striking coaches in MMA at the moment.
Yeah, nice.
So let's start. Well, we've already started.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we've started about.
On to the second fight I'm going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
The two crazy Polak chicks, Joanna Young Jacek and Karolina Kowalkiewicz.
How good was it?
Mate. What an awesome fight, eh?
Unbelievable.
It was crazy, man. Karolina was undefeated since her loss in the amateurs to Joanna.
Yeah.
Joanna just moved to American top team from Poland. All Polish affair. Completely dominant performance by Joanna. Winning most of every round. I'm not saying a whole name the whole time. It's KK and JJ.
Yeah, nice.
But KK had her moments throughout the fight.
Mate, she did, and especially towards the end.
Absolutely. Yeah. She started coming on strong. She broke Joanna's nose early on, hurting her badly.
Yep.
But JJ recovered quick and went straight back to work. And you could tell she'd actually trained with Paul Sawinski because her leg kicks were absolutely on point.
Yeah, right.
She was kicking the inside, the outside, the left and the right. It was probably the most beautiful display of leg kicks I've seen in MMA.
Yeah,
it was
nice.
The complete Dutch style of kickboxing,
which
is very rare in MMA because of the threat of the takedown. So it just shows you how much confidence and how good Joanna's takedown defense is. I reckon she's by far the best low kicker in MMA.
Yeah, nice.
And second place isn't even close. Like Pat Barry, the old heavyweight, who I'm actually friends with, defensive. He's a great blow. He had monster leg kicks, just sheer beautiful power.
Yep.
But Joanna, the way she sets him up and puts him on the end of her combinations.
And they snap too.
Oh, and she digs in and she hits with the right part of the shin. I always say that there's a checklist you need to do with a low kick, because we've all seen the broken leg videos. You have to aim high on the quad in case they're going to check it a little bit. So if they start checking, you're not going to hit the top of the knee. You're just going to hit lower down on the quad.
Yeah.
You have to set the shot up with a punch or a feint or something first, and you have to hit with the correct part of the shin. Joanna does that every single time. Mm. It's absolutely beautiful. So on to Tyrone Woodley versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson for the welterweight title fight of the night.
Unbelievable fight.
Awesome, mate. Yeah. Awesome. It didn't really end up being the striker versus wrestler match as advertised, with the exception of the first round, where at the end of it, Tyrone got the takedown, inflicted enough damage to, in my opinion, win a 10-8 round. But Wonderboy, he came back strong, was able to keep it standing for the most part for the rest of the contest. And it really ended up being Wonderboy's kicks versus Tyrone's nuclear right hand. And you got to say, Wonderboy is the nicest bloke ever. Like, at the end of the round, he helps him up. It's like Stoy. He'll punch the shit out of you. And then he's like, oh, my God, you're so awesome, man. That was such an amazing fight. So he's the nicest bloke in the world. And from, like, a wealthy family as well. Yeah. Like, this dude doesn't need to fight.
He's like Captain Johnny America, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you just look at him, he's like a Nebraska corn-fed young cow. Yeah.
Yeah, wealthy family. His dad, the toughest bloke, I think it was North Carolina he's from.
Yes, it is.
They run a huge school with, like, 500 students. He doesn't need to be in the ring fighting, man. And he's in there. And his heart is unquestionable.
Yeah.
Probably the nicest bloke in MMA.
How he didn't get choked out in round four.
Yeah. And he's got a little head, man.
Yeah. How he didn't get choked out then.
And especially with Woodley's arms.
I know.
He's jacked. He's in Swalville, man. He's looking awesome. But there was a bit of a Steve Harvey moment at the end of the fight with Bruce Buffer.
Yeah.
Starting to announce the winner, stopping, walking out of the cage to confirm with the commission about the result, returns to announce Woodley as the winner via split decision, and mid-post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, the commission told Buffer that they actually got it wrong, asked him to re-announce the fight as a majority draw, which means two judges scored it a draw, one judge favored it to Woodley, which means Woodley retains the title, but Dana White said directly after the fight that obviously, there's a very good case for a rematch. So Dana has reneged a few times in the past, but I reckon that is probably going to be the next fight. And Damian Maia, the clear number one contender behind those two guys, might have to wait or take another fight.
Yeah, right.
In the meantime,
no, it was certainly a good old Donnybrook, wasn't it?
Just contrast of styles, all heart from both dudes, and just you can see with Tyrone, he's so explosive.
Yeah,
but it takes him if he doesn't get the finish, it takes him a little while to recover because he gasses quick, but he uses so much energy when he punches. His right hand is absolutely a thing of beauty. So on to the main event, Conor McGregor versus the lightweight champion, Eddie Alvarez. And this wasn't a battle for the ages.
No.
It was just a
clinical display.
Dude, it was a one-sided ass kicking, and Conor was swinging the hammer.
Yeah.
Conor made history as the first guy ever to hold two belts simultaneously with a second round TKO, dropping Eddie four times in 7 minutes. His left hand will go down as one of the most dangerous weapons in all of MMA, up there with Krokop's head kick and Hendo's H-bomb.
And it's just his timing.
Oh, precision.
It's timing.
It's unbelievable. And confidence.
Yeah.
He's now got 18 of his 21 wins via KO, and he's the third fighter ever to score three knockdowns in one fight on two separate occasions. I mean, and everyone's talking about, oh, you know, he just walked through Eddie, couldn't have been that good. Eddie's a legit MMA Hall of Fame contender. He's held a belt in every single organization he has fought in, including Reality Fighting Championships, Mixed Fighting Championships, Bodog Fight, Dream, and Bellator. He was the lightweight champion in every single one of those organizations.
And Conor had the same two belts when he was fighting in the European League.
Yeah, he had the same thing in Cage Warriors. And there's a photo of Conor about a year ago. I think he was doing like an open day for the Jose Aldo fight.
Yeah.
And he had two UFC belts then. And he made the law of attraction, man. Yeah. It's a thing, mate.
Oh, with him it is. He's a cocky little bastard. But
normally you have to have that.
I'm not saying you don't, but a lot of people normally really hate people like that.
But he walks the walk.
And as he says, I fucking back it up.
Yeah.
And he does.
Absolutely.
Backs it up and he's got talent and you go, do you know what? Fair enough.
And you know what? When he wins,
yep.
he's nothing but respectful. And when he loses, he's nothing but respectful as well.
That's it. That first time Nate flogged him. He like, or the big
took
man
like
won
a champ.
On the day.
That's how you
really
lose like
did.
A champion, yeah, mate. Yeah. And look how he came back. So, mate, yeah, there's supposed to be a full wrestler versus striker matchup, but, mate, Connor beat him like a 15-year-old beats his dick, mate. No mercy. Absolute no mercy, mate. The biggest thing that it was unbelievable to me was it was true. Right?
I haven't heard that.
Dude,
that's
I,
awesome.
Dude, like it stole something. The size difference was unbelievable. And I've spoken about my weight cutting. I mentioned it before, but to have that size advantage against a light weight champion, when you're the featherweight champion,
yes,
man, that is some serious discipline and work ethic.
Shows you how much cutting Connor does to get
Dude,
the featherweight
and
why
never
he looks like he looks like he's a skeleton.
Mate, he's never missed weight. Mm. And I listened to his coach interviewed on the MMA Hour podcast the other day.
Yep.
And he's actually lighter for this lightweight contest than he normally is 6 weeks out from a featherweight contest. So going back down to featherweight again is not a problem.
Yeah, right.
So it is unbelievable. And because of this, he will always be in the argument for the greatest of all time. Very subjective.
Yep.
And some would completely disagree, and I'm well and truly open to the argument. But the facts are, no one has done
what he's done.
What he has done, and it's unlikely anyone will ever come close. BJ Penn tried
yep.
when he was the lightweight champ to go up and fight GSP, and he got his fucking ass handed to him.
Yeah.
You're going to beep that out? Don't beep it out, man. So the show broke all the UFC and MSG gate records. It was $17.7 million gate. That is by far the biggest at Madison Square Garden ever. 20,427 tickets were sold, and it's trending. And by the time this airs, it'll probably be confirmed. But Dana White pretty much confirmed it at the post-fight presser to be the biggest pay-per-view ever. For Connor to break his own record, which was his second fight against Nate back in March, for 1.65 million pay-per-view buys.
How many people did you say were in the audience?
20,427.
So that works out on average at $86 a ticket.
And some tickets were going for freaking stupid amounts.
Oh, of course.
And Dana actually got asked, do you think you priced some of the hardcore fans out of it? And Dana said, absolutely, we did.
Yep.
But it was such a prestigious event. Man, the who's who was there. You know, Triple H and the WWE's interested in signing him.
Yeah, Madonna was there.
She was loving it. And so obviously, again, this reignited speculation of him versus Mayweather. Now, on paper, Mayweather boxes his ears off. It's not even close. Yeah. But when you've got that nuclear left hand with the timing he's got, anything is possible. Have a listen to Connor discussing the fight at the post-fight press conference.
And then that's it. They've got to come talk to me now because no one's come talk to me since the sale has happened. As a businessman, I've been approached as hello and that type of stuff. But I've earned something. I'm brand new. There's not a scratch on me. I've not been wobbled. But you know what I mean? I'm for a 28-year-old on top of the game with all the belts, all the money, all the numbers. In a game like this, there's not a thing wrong with me. So I can keep going all day. But I'm aware of my worth. And now I've got a family. Now I've got a kid on the way. So I'm coming for mine now if you want me back.
So that wasn't the entire of – he was always going to do the big announcement after the fight, but obviously announces he's going to have a kid. And that was no surprise. You can see on all the pre-fight shows that his partner, Dee, she looked real pregnant.
Food baby.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like she's like a beautiful woman. But you could see she was all puffed up and she was well and
she's
truly –
she's glowing, Ben.
She's glowing. She's got the glow.
Yep.
And but apparently there's a bit of speculation that he's actually
allegedly, because we don't want to be
completely
sued.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
This is could be all
furphy,
all lies, but it's speculation that he's actually got another girl pregnant, and that's why part of the reason he's going to take a break as well.
Mm.
But that could be complete lies.
It could be. You know, or could you imagine the amount of people coming out of the woodwork looking for a piece of him, knowing how much money he's worth?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. If I ever win lotto, there's going to be some bitches calling me.
two of your best in this
segment. So moving on, we'll go a bit of boxing news. We've got Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev for the undisputed unified light heavyweight championship of the world. That's 79 kilos between two undefeated and the clear top two guys in the division. Here's some audio discussing the fight.
On occasions like this one, on the verge of the most penetrating reminders of boxing's unique irresistibility, the dichotomies always shine brightest. In the case at hand, it's the ferocious puncher matched with the brilliant boxer.
Andre Ward is mentally relentless. He sees his advantages and he presses them constantly.
A classic clinician against a dominant warrior.
This guy is a mean fighter.
The most sinister presence in the ring of anyone in boxing.
Coming together for a display that promises at once brutal violence and mesmerizing exactitude. And yet, beyond those stark contrasts, there is so much that Sergei Kovalev and Andre Ward share. So much they'll both do in the pursuit of victory.
I like to make a pain to my opponents, you know, like, I want to make him pain.
I'm serious about this sport, man. I love it. I've given my life to it, literally.
I can say that he's a dirty fighter. I will break his hands, his arms, if he's going to make something dirty, like, I will do the same.
When they say they're going to do this to me, I ain't going to do nothing. That's the mindset. It's not arrogance. It's just a determined mentality. You're not gonna do anything. And show me that I'm wrong.
They are two of the best boxers in the world. Two fighters who've each never lost a bout. And on November 19th, the dichotomies and the parallels will once again converge into the irresistible.
Now, Kovalev, Russians are pretty known for being stoic and pragmatic.
Yes.
Would you say, Scotty?
Yeah, I would say that, Benny.
Mate, Kovalev, he's actually killed two people in the ring, confirmed. And unlike a lot of people, when that happens, they obviously lose their killer instinct. Yeah, no pun intended.
He didn't.
He hasn't one bit. And he is he's a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
So he's Ivan Drago.
And, mate, he is, mate. He's the closest we'll ever get in all the good ways. And, he will not hesitate to end the fight. This is like a true boxer versus murderous puncher. No pun intended again.
Yep.
And it's a matchup for the ages. That's on this weekend. I will be watching. And just quickly to finish off, the Pacquiao-Vargas recap from 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, we would have spoken about it last week.
Yeah. The 37-year-old Manny Pacquiao, he hasn't lost a step.
Mm.
He completely dominated the WBO welterweight champion for a unanimous decision victory, dropping him once, shooting him right back into the pound-for-pound rankings. Working as a full-time senator, his camp was complete mayhem, and that's from the words of his managers and minders.
And you said he fights better when it's like
he
that.
He does, and again, the proof's in the pudding. He thrives in the chaos, came up with a brilliant performance, and again, on Mayweather, this reignited talks between him fighting Mayweather again. So Mayweather's a very marked man.
Surely they wouldn't have number two.
I can't see it happening.
Number one was terrible.
I can't see it happening. Fight. Well, I loved it, but I'm a hardcore fan. But that's how Mayweather fights, man. He a lot of judges give him points for making the other guy miss, and the skill is through the roof. He's arguably the best defensive fighter ever. No one's taken less damage than him. That's just a matter of fact. But in terms of a crowd-pleasing fighter, man, he's the guy. His defense is offense, mate. He's kill or be killed, and I love that. But I can't see Mayweather making another $300 million payday if they were to do it.
Nah, surely
again.
Not. You wouldn't think so.
Nah.
Unless he fought Pac and Conor at the same time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, everyone was asking Mayweather, what do you think? Because, like, Conor's like, he's the biggest star ever in the UFC. He wants equity. He's clearing over 20 mil a fight after pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like, he's by far the biggest star ever. He's kind of starting. He's already in megastardom.
Yeah.
Like, he's entering that Mayweather level.
Yeah.
But as Mayweather said, mate, he makes like $20 million a fight, mate. I was making $20 million a fight 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He hasn't made $70 million. He hasn't made $100 million. He hasn't made $200 million. I made $300 million a fight.
Yeah.
When he gets there, let me know. But in Conor McGregor's defense, the sport he's in is only 23 years old.
Correct.
Boxing's like 123 years old. So
that's right.
You give him time, and what McGregor's done in the time the UFC's been around is absolutely unbelievable.
And if McGregor doesn't get there, it's certainly opened the door for someone down the track.
Oh, man, he's setting all the records, and I can't see anyone on the horizon that's going to come anything close to that. He's just the perfect storm of work ethic, The physical ability,
yep,
the perfect size, and the smarts and the articulation to be able to squirt that stuff out of your mouth,
yep,
after like the biggest fight when the whole world's watching.
Yeah.
He's a very, very smart man and very unique individual.
To nobody. Well,
because all the pre-fight videos, he was picking a fight with Tyrone Woodley backstage before. Yeah. He's picking a fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov, Snoop Dogg's favorite.
Yep.
He doesn't give a fuck, mate. He's a staunch dude, mate. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the future with that, mate. And that's a wrap for this Bifferama.
Awesome.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Well, the crew at the butcher shop are getting busier than Dana White preparing the checks for Conor McGregor at the moment, aren't they, Benny?
They sure are.
Mate, Christmas is just around the corner, and the team, they're working 24/7 at the butcher shop at the moment. They've actually put on
They're working around the clock.
They are, mate. They've put on a night shift to get everything done, because all the hams for Christmas, if you haven't had a butcher shop ham, they are, and I'm not just saying it because they're a sponsor of our podcast. They seriously are amazing. I'm from a long line of butchers, and my old man reckons, and the quote was, "That's just like how I used to make them."
Yeah, old school.
Yeah, that's
old
it. School. Double smoked Australian pork, all in made house. On the premises and in house.
And you just showed me probably the best advertisement for a butcher shop I've ever seen in my life. It's going to be online.
Yes.
On the Scotty Masters media page and the butcher shop page.
It'll be on the butcher shop Facebook page. So go and check out the video for their meat raffle this week.
You can see them smoking on premises. How many can they fit in there to smoke?
In that smoker, I think they fit about 12 at a time.
Yeah.
And they've got two of those smokers going around the clock
for
Christmas.
Do.
So,
I bet they do.
Yeah, they're going crazy. So folks, if you haven't tried especially the Christmas ham at the butcher shop, you don't know what you're missing. As I say, the price is forgotten. As they say, the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten. Their Christmas hams aren't cheap, but geez, they're good. They are sensational. You get what you pay for.
And apart from the awesome meat, if you want a bit of entertainment as well, get old Enos. You'll be very surprised at his sign spinning skills. I was very impressed.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast,
it's time to get loud
and local.
Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
Another local music flashback this week, Scotty. Who you got for us, mate?
Mate, a band called Using Three Words, who sort of mid-2000, halfway, like around the noughties they started.
Yep.
And
what are we in now? The teenies?
Well, I don't know what it's called now.
I'm going to Google
it. I've got no idea. But yes, Using Three Words, the guys broke up. There's various guys in other bands around town now, but their EP that they put together was sensational, and really like playing some of these flashbacks at the moment of Canberra bands long forgotten, because there has been some sensational music coming out of the nation's capital over the years.
Yeah, there certainly has, mate, and you've opened my eyes to a lot of it as well, mate. What sort of genre are these dudes?
These guys, I'd say Linkin Park-ish meets...
Oh, I'm in. I was listening to them on the way here.
There you go. Well, let's have a listen to this. It's called If It's All The Same, Using Three Words. It's a cracker.
It's honest now, it feels so right. Am I supposed to just give in to it?
If it's all the same, I think I'll pass.
Thanks all the time that I gotta love me. Now I'm the other way. If it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks all the time that I gotta love me. Can you feel this? Look to the left and to the back of my eyes and hold tight. Do you still see me? If it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got to love me. Now look the other way. If it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got to love. Tonight it's on.
drinking good wine and feeling in time, so to you. I'm waiting for the sky to open. Today, today it's over. Today it's over. Sit down now. Don't make a sound. Let me thank. Let me thank you. Let me thank you. Thank you, dear. If it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got along me. Now look the other way. If it's all the same, I think I'll pass. Thanks for the time that I got along me.
America, 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 fuck yeah!
That movie ruined my sense of humor for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. But Team America, what a sensational movie it was. And, well, it's all been Team America in the news. This time last week, Donald Trump was elected president-elect of the United States of America, Benny, and the social media world has gone to Butthurtville.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's insane, isn't it? There were riots and marches in Melbourne last weekend from people saying, we don't support Donald Trump. He's a heads up, people. Do you think he gives a shit?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. Hillary get more votes, but it's Trump on the states, and it's the fourth time it's happened.
Yeah, it happened
2000
to Al Gore against Bush the first time as
and
well,
and twice in the 1800s apparently.
Yeah. But that's their system. I mean, it's like here, necessarily for the biggest amount of votes doesn't mean the party's going to get in because of preferences.
Yeah,
Kim Beazley and the Labor Party back in the 90s got more votes than the Libs, but the coalition. Got him across the line with the Nationals. So it happens everywhere, and it is the system that elected Obama as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he got more popular votes. But I think the big problem with what's happened, and a lot of people are going, oh, I can't believe they voted for this guy. He's a pig. And there's no doubt the stuff that he said on the bus, whether it was meant to be in private or not, it got picked up and the world knows about it. And
the grabber by the pussy?
All of that stuff, yeah.
We've all said it.
Yeah, I don't know, have we?
I probably haven't.
No, I don't think I have, Benny. But, you know, the fact that came out and it still didn't derail his campaign, I think, is the shining light as to what went down. Because I've got a lot of friends who are left-leaning in politics. I'm a swinging voter. I've voted Labor and Liberal throughout my life in Australia.
Yeah, me too.
And will continue to do so. I don't understand being a rusted-on voter.
Is the party system like a thing these days anymore, really?
No, they're all very similar, aren't they?
Don't they just spend their time trying to undermine each other more than anything else?
Pretty much, really? Yeah. Politics has become an epic dirge, but I think that's what's happened in America. Everyone's going, I can't believe, you know, the woman that's been groomed a whole life to become president, you know, didn't get there over this pig. What happened, I think American voters, and especially in the wheat belt of America and the rust belt in the middle, they all just went, we're sick of Washington. We're sick of the East and the West Coast thinking they're the only ones that run this country. We mightn't agree with everything Donald said. We mightn't even like Donald, but this is a middle finger to, you know, party politics and to elitism in Washington. And I think that same thing happened to the Nationals out at Orange this weekend. The Shooters and Fishers Party got in. They've never got in because of the whole Greyhound debacle in New South Wales.
The times are changing, man.
Brexit, same deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think the biggest shock was like the pollsters that were calling people to see who you're voting for. Most of them obviously went for the Democrats, say, yeah, we're probably going to vote Hillary. So Hillary was the favourite. But if you look modern day, social media is a big thing. You look at Hillary's followers, you look at Trump's followers. Trump blows her out of the water. And you look at the actual rallies when they were talking on the mic. Trump
had 30,000.
Man, yeah. And 30,000 people.
Yeah.
That's more than the UFC, the biggest UFC ever from the weekend.
Yeah.
And Hillary had a couple of hundred at some of hers. Hillary and she was bussing some in.
Yeah, she
They're signs that the pollsters in modern day, when they call your house up 9 to 5, a lot of people are at work. They're not going to answer.
Well, I mean, I get calls here at night, and I quite often do the political surveys when I get the calls here, and I'm pretty honest. But I think something I read a story the other day that the polls were wrong because a lot of people are sick of being told their views are wrong. That if you disagree, and especially with the left, like the left over there, they're straight on you. Oh, you're racist, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that. So a lot of people got sick of copping that and just either didn't say who they were voting for or they lied. And that's why I think the polls were wrong too. So
yeah, big time.
Is Trump going to do a good job? Who knows?
Find out. When do you kick off? January?
Yeah, January. I think we're about 60-something days away from the inauguration. So and security's really tight around Trump Tower.
Dude, he's gonna have the highest security ever.
They thought the same when Obama got in too, because they thought there'd be some good old Alabama boys that'd come up and shoot the black guy that became president. Yeah. And like they had the huge bulletproof screens up around Obama first inauguration. So you'd think they'd have the same sort of thing for Donald Trump.
But didn't Kennedy and Lincoln, they were the two guys in the past that really went against
the grain at the time.
The bankers.
Lincoln
and all
was
sort
a Republican, right? Which is your right wing stuff, but he's the one that abolished slavery.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a very different party back then, and politics was very different back then. But
Who knows what's going to happen? I don't think it's a bad thing, to be honest.
No.
And things were taken out of context. Like the whole, all Mexicans are rape, that was completely. I watched that speech the other day. He wasn't saying that. He was saying Mexico's sending us their worst people. He didn't say they're all right. He says they're sending us their thieves, their burglars.
The ones that are getting in illegally is what he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly right. That's right. If he just worded it differently and said, I'm all for immigration, but you've got to come through the proper channels.
Proper channels, had he said it that way, but you know
what?
He wouldn't have got the $3 billion in free airtime that he got leading up to it.
Right.
But it's very interesting watching everyone now clutch at straws and going, where the hell did the Democrats get it so wrong?
Yeah. But what about all the people like, all the Hillary supporters that are belting the Trump supporters, like, really? Is that the best way to make your point? Belting people?
Yeah, I don't know.
Rape Melina? Who the fuck's...
Really?
I didn't see that. That's legit, man.
Yeah,
well. Obviously an anti-Trump protest.
Yeah, right.
What kind of people are they?
Well, and that's the thing with the left too. The left preach that, you know, they're all inclusive, they're all about people and, you know, social progressives.
And they're calling Trump a misogynist and they're holding up signs like that.
Yeah. No, it'll be very interesting to see how the whole thing plays out in America. I do think he's in way over his head. I think he's just now, I think it's dawning on him.
It looked like it when he was sitting with Obama, like, oh, what have I got myself into? I was just trying to impress my missus.
Did you read the articles about that? They got Dr. Alan Peace, who's a body language expert, to look over it and just go, you know, Trump's sitting in the steeple, which is a position
protective
of power. Both of them are very, the shoulders are hunched. They don't want to be there.
Awkward, all kinds of awkward.
Well, I mean, they both said horrible, horrible things about each other for months during the campaign. But
that's politics. So even Obama, when he went against Clinton in 2008, he threw under the bus and then he's advocating for her. Like,
that's
come
right,
on.
Yeah.
That's politics, man.
Yeah, politics is like that. It's about who can get re-elected in 4 years and stuff everything
But
else.
Even Obama said, he goes, when I found out the nation's secrets, I'm glad the windows are barred because I wanted to jump out.
Yeah.
He goes, God knows how Trump's going to feel.
Yeah, no. So it'll be interesting. We're a long way away from any nuclear fallout between America and Russia, and that's a good thing, folks. So
yeah, but it's just China. We're going to dodge the nukes.
Yeah, is he going to upset China? I don't know. He's got a lot of business interests over there.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Who knows? It'll be very interesting.
I'm just interested to see. We've all seen those photos of how badly the president's age.
Yeah.
But I bet you his toupee colour doesn't change.
It's
a toupee, man.
No, man, that's
it's
his
still,
actual
I bet
hair.
You he's still
Jimmy
got-
Jimmy Fallon almost rubbed bright it off on his show. It's his actual hair. It's an epic comb
Is there
over.
Hair pieces or what?
No, there's no. No
I bet you it's still going to be ring of red at the end
of
the
day. Oh, yeah.
If it's not a toupee now, it's going
to
be.
Whoever does his spray tanning, because he obviously uses bronzer, needs to do under his eyes. Because he looks like he's got two assholes for eyes.
He's an oompa loompa, man.
Mr. President, good luck.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place.
But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Well, I reckon this one might cause some fights. It's listener question time. Ethan Nardi on Facebook. Good mate Ethan has sent this one through, Benny. Barbecue or tomato sauce, and do they belong in the fridge or the pantry?
Pantry, and it's tomato, or go fuck yourself.
Huh. No, do you know what? That's my answer too. No, I'm a tomato fan, although I will say there is a barbecue sauce you can now get that you can only get at Costco, but it's now at Woolies, and so I'm guessing Coles. It's called Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. It's from America. It's got like all the corn fructose syrup in it.
Yeah,
all it's good so stuff. Bad for you. But on barbecue ribs and stuff, oh my God, mate, this stuff is awesome.
You know the tomato sauce that I actually use is called Pops.
And oh, yeah, Pops, yeah.
It's like 87% actual tomato. It's yeah. like the strongest yeah, one you can get.
It comes in the full red.
Yeah, yeah, but stuff. I'll tell you what, the barbecue sauce I would try is JR, the old WWE commentator. He's got this whole JR's barbecue range.
Lead singer Offspring's got his own barbecue sauces too.
Really?
Yeah, when I interviewed him, Dexter.
Shit.
Yeah.
True, didn't see that coming.
True story.
Have you tried it?
No.
He's ripping off JR, man.
He was going to send us some. We never
is it
got
Dexter's
there.
Barbecue?
Yeah, I think it is, yes. Yeah,
he's got to get an original name. He's ripping off JR. I'm going to tweet JR and let him know, man.
JR, I don't think he's paying attention to his Twitter, is he?
Mate, but, he's for an old fella who's, you know, been through some health battles, he's pretty switched. So on his podcast every week, it's actually really good, man.
Okay,
his cognitive abilities have not slipped for a man well into his 70s and a stroke victim as well, mate. He's sharp as a tack.
But no, I agree with you. Tomato sauce and in the pantry. Like, you don't put it in the fridge because then you're sticking on whatever you're eating.
That's
hot,
madness.
And it's bloody stupid.
It's like putting the toilet paper under the wrong way.
Oh, no, under it means you're a terrorist.
Yeah,
it's got to go over. 100%. The original patent for toilet rolls was over.
Terrorists. I saw that, but terrorists don't use toilet paper, man. That's why it's rude to wave at someone with your right hand.
Really?
It is over there. Well, it was on Three Kings, the movie.
Oh, but must be true.
Yeah, it's real to me, damn it. Probably that's a big insight. Actually, I think I read that in a book, man. If you, because that's
talking,
the hand.
Ben.
I'm spitting this out, man. Apparently, it's an insult to wave at someone over there in the Middle East with your right hand.
Because that's the hand that's you the wipe hand. Your bum
And so the Bravo 2, I think it was Bravo 2-0 guys, Andy McNabb, all the SAS guys, got the shit hit the fan over there. And they were trying to, you know, be undercover. They got in a bit of trouble and they waved at these guys and they knew straight away and they just started firing upon them.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, could be bullshit, but that's my story and I'm sticking to
it. That's a great story. Tell it at dinner parties.
How'd we get here from Source, man?
I don't know.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
It's listener request time from the album from my childhood, The Mighty Queen.
Yeah, indeed, more Queen, Benny. This one has been sent in by Nigel Jeffries, our good mate from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy.
Good on Nigel. I saw him on the weekend. He was out for his young fella's 18. I put him on the list.
Did you?
Yeah, Mr. Wolf. Sure did.
Well, speaking of his young fella, Chris turned 18 last week, and Chris set up a charity called Pedal for Pierce. Now, Pierce is a young guy here in the ACT who has Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is the congenital muscular dystrophy that affects young men. And it's a horrific form of muscular dystrophy.
Congenital meaning it's genetic.
There's no cure for it. And anyway, they set up, because they all ride bikes, you know, middle-aged men in Lycra, that sort of thing. So they set up this cycling troop and they do events and they raise money to help Pierce take part in all the trials in America and stuff.
How good's that? And then the young fella.
Yeah, Chris basically set it all up and runs it all. So he's a legend. He was nominated for ACT Volunteer of the Year the year before last. So he's a good kid. And, of course, we're going to play Queen for him because he certainly deserves it. So Bicycle Race by Queen. Let's get it on the podcast right now.
Ring, 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 ring.
Bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bar,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say him. And George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Royce.
You say God,
give me a choice.
You say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman.
All I wanna do is bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want
bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle. Races are coming your way.
So forget all your duties. Oh yeah.
Rock-bottom girls, they'll be riding today.
So look out for those beauties. Oh yeah.
On your marks, get set, go.
You say John,
I say Wayne,
hot dog,
I say cooler man. I don't want to be the president of America.
I say smile,
I say cheese,
Cartier,
I say please,
income tax,
I say Jesus. I don't want to be a candidate for Vietnam or Watergate, cause all I want to do is
bicycle,
yeah,
bicycle,
hey.
Bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle,
come on,
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
There they are. That is Queen and Bicycle Race. Just what a bloody visionary band those guys were. I never get tired of hearing
their
music.
Timeless, brilliant, unique.
Indeed. We need to thank our
like
wonderful
sponsors.
Oh, let's not get too carried away, Benny. We need to thank our wonderful sponsors, of course, Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan, and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, for their wonderful help in us putting together this little podcast.
Good on you, fellas.
Indeed, indeed. Now, Benny, before we get out of here, next week, I think, I'm pretty sure Stevie P's back next week.
Oh, I miss him.
Mm. It's been a while, but I think he's back. I think he's back next week, and then he'll be back the week after too. So I think he's going to be back for two or three shows in a row. So next week's
episode
could be at 2.5 hours next week.
With about 20 minutes of laughing. So block your ears.
Now, before we get out of here, we need to give our uppercut of the week.
You're the world's nicest angry man, Scotty.
Yeah.
You've always got an uppercut up your sleeve.
Well, there's always someone pissing me off, Ben.
Oh, I know this.
This person's pissing off a lot of Australia at the moment, and his name is Pat Howard, and he's the High Performance Director for Australian Cricket. Now, he's not the coach.
Is that quickly becoming an oxymoron?
I think so. This is the guy that basically says, you can't bowl this week, Mitchell Starc, because you bowled 14 overs last week. You know, you can't bowl now because you might burn out, and we're leaving our best bowlers on the sideline. And we got hammered in two tests now.
Yeah, and what they say, it's the worst squad since, 1912 or something?
I think if we lose the next test, then it's that we're equal with that squad. So, yeah, I don't know what's happening. And I read a report today, Brian Lara reckons Australia's headed for the same fate the Windies did at the end of the 90s.
Yeah.
Because the Windies haven't won anything since Viv Richards and Clive Lloyd. And
do you reckon cricket... Like in terms of Test cricket, the 5-day thing's a dying format.
No, I see. I'm not a huge cricket fan, but I do love I hated Test cricket as a kid. I didn't understand it, but when I got a bit older, I understood that it's a chess game. It's a chess game played over 5 days.
But do you reckon
the
modern generation, short term attention? Hey, is that a flight? The short term attention span.
I think that's what's hurting it because
the Big Bash is going off, good crowds and all that.
There's too much cricket as well. Like these guys don't stop. Jeff Thompson gave a speech last year at Cricket Awards, and it was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. He's going, I don't know how these guys do it. We used to get an off-season. These poor buggers don't get an off-season. They play 12 months of the year now.
Yeah, really.
And they do with the IPL, with the Big Bash League, the 2020, multiple test series.
It's still very healthy. I know when I was in Dubai, even like Dubai, you don't think of cricket with Dubai, but there was kids just playing cricket on all these street corners all over the
also
place.
Also read a report this week, due to the way Australia's set up now with all the new housing developments everywhere.
Small backyards.
Kids aren't playing cricket the way we used to.
Yeah, I never thought of that until I read that last week.
Probably has a lot to do with it as well. So, Benny, I want you to wind up, son.
I'm ready to go. I'm back. The hand's good.
Yeah, it looks good. Paddy Howard, High Performance Director of Australian Cricket. That's funny. You're going to eat this, pal. Oh, that was a good one.
That was high performance.
That was very.
I showed him how it was done,
mate. That was Connor-esque.
That's exactly right, man.
All right. So that is us done. If you want to request on the podcast, because we've now got three or four left, I think.
I put a spanner in the works. I don't know what episode number we're on to.
Well, this is episode 26, but yeah, I think we've got three left. Maybe
December
8th
we finish.
Yeah,
is that right?
December 8th will be the last podcast for the year. So yeah, if you've got a request, a song you want to hear or a question or something, make sure you hit us up on Facebook and leave us a comment and we'll get it sorted for you. So without further ado, get a big black dog up ya.
See you, folks.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and the butcher shop Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.